Roll out those lazy, hazy, crazy days of summer. Those days of soda and pretzels and beer.
And water, plenty of water. Well, we had the Lorain County General Health District in yesterday, and they talked about water first for thirst.
I love that.
So that's what they were talking about, even though I guess a beer and a pop, soda, soft drink, whatever, works well too.
No, it doesn't.
It makes it fun. Come on. Who has memories of going around and collecting water bottles and then taking them to the store for money back? Water bottles? Come on. And Charles Benke, you did not do that. It was pop bottles, right?
And I still have some of those at my home yet.
What,
pop? Some Sprite bottles and some Coca-Cola bottles from way back in the 1980s. I forgot to open them up. Wait, I just found them the other day.
Oh, they're still full?
Yeah, they're still full.
Well, okay. Maybe you should call Tom Kelly at the Lorain County Emergency Management Agency or Hazmat or somebody to come. Well, we don't know what will happen. I mean, in the event of some fire, they could explode and create hazards.
Like I don't know. Those pops are
going to
last.
Some sort of like artillery?
Huh? Pops are like Twinkies. They're going to last forever.
They last forever, and they'll probably be flat.
Well, no, you know, I suppose it's valuable because those probably actually have sugar in them, not that high fructose corn syrup. So you got the throwback, but from back, you get the real ones.
Let's say I was just lazy and didn't get the containers back
in
time.
Well, okay, fine. We're here with Charles Benke, horticulturalist, joining us this morning on WEOL with some gardening, growing advice. You're back because we were talking about strawberries the other day because the strawberry festival for the Elyria Kiwanis is coming up next Wednesday.
Right.
And you were thinking about strawberries. They're still growing out there, not ready to be picked.
They're still growing out there, and do check with our local growers. You know, they will run an ad in the newspaper in the classified section. They're probably updating nowadays on Twitter and email kind of notices and Facebook and all that sort of type thing. But take a look there. But it's been cold at night, like this morning was kind of chilly, and boy, strawberries just don't want to ripen up like they should if you have nice warm days and warm nights. We had that nice rain the other day, and that's going to help them increase, but we need some warm evenings.
So that's for them to get a little
plump up a little bit.
You said they're about the size of a nickel now.
Yeah, I had looked at some last week over in Cleveland, kind of up in the high ground area, and they were about nickel size.
Okay, but soon a lot of the different markets opening up, and some of the what other fruits will be available sooner? What's the timetable?
Vegetable wise, there's some asparagus out there. I've seen some signs out for that, and there's some spring onions that are available already that people seem to be offering here and there. Other than that, let's see, my little view past the sweet corn over on in Avon. There's a little patch of it over there and a couple other places on West Ridge Road. I noticed that's up there about 6 to 8 inches already, so it's moving along. But we need some warm days and warm nights to move things along.
Okay. People who have fruit trees and plants of that nature, they can still do some pruning, I understand?
Yes, they can. There's still a lot of dead material up in trees and shrubs, and it needs to be pruned out. You have a pretty good idea right now what is alive, and if you're not sure, use the old fingernail test where you just simply scratch the bark, and it will either be green and kind of whitish underneath, or it'll be brown and kind of sunken in. If it's brown and sunken in, it is dead tissue, and get it pruned out and pruned back to where you see some new growth coming out of the tree to ensure recovery of that tree.
Well, this morning before I came in, I took a picture of a couple of landscape trees that I have at my property, and I showed you a picture of it. Now, what? And it's like a sort of a cherry. Weeping.
Yeah, it's a weeping cherry, and a lot of them took a hit on the nose this year.
I did notice that there was no. I did not get a lot of blossoms, sporadic ones, because normally this comes across, and there's a day or two where it's out there. It doesn't have very fragrant. It stinks a little bit more than some of the other ones do. But didn't see it this year. And then the leaves are supposed to show up. And now the leaves are kind of just, you know, I guess I'll show up, maybe not, and there's not a lot.
It's just your older perception of smell.
Okay.
Or there are neutral smelling.
All right.
Some flowers do have
a
off flavor. Other things have a reasonable, pleasant smell.
It stinks. That's what I tell you.
It stinks.
Trust me. It does. It just does. The first time one of these bloomed, I thought, what the heck is that smell? Is there something dead in my front yard? I can't tell what it was. But anyway, regardless.
I should give you a voodoo lily. You'll really know what that is.
Oh, I gave you a picture. I showed you the picture of it. And what did you tell me?
Oh, it's winter dieback, and it's quite common around the whole area here.
Tell what he said.
It's dead.
He said
it's dead. Dead is dead.
That tree's dead. And I'm like, what? Not the whole, the what? The whole thing?
We were discussing that among three horticulturalists yesterday down at the Cleveland Zoo. We were holding a pesticide recertification class for a number of people that have pesticide licenses, and we're noting that a lot of the weeping cherries are simply dead this year from the winter.
Is that dead as in not coming back? Dead?
That is in dead and not coming back. There may be an occasional branch, but your tree is going to look kind of funny. So kind of think, give it a little time yet, but my thought is it's on the more declining side than
okay. Well, I will wait to see and figure out what to do. Okay, now you got my budget in my head. All of a sudden, I'm thinking, how do I go? Because, you know.
Even the ones over on Fulton Road over by the Cleveland Zoo were looking very bad. There's been some that I've noticed since way back in 1974 when I came to Cleveland, and they are very severely injured this year.
All right.
Hey, speaking of pesticides, you are a friend to bugs, so. What's happening with the bugs right now? What do we have?
Oh, the bugs that are out there. If you happen to have a honey locust tree and you go out there right now, you might notice that the leaves are crippled, and there's an insect called the plant bug. It's a little green insect about the size of an aphid. In other words, about an eighth of an inch in size. Shake the branch, all these insects will fall down on you and be crawling all over you. They won't hurt, but on the tree they are a sucking type insect and actually cause the leaves to be quite crippled. And you'll wonder what did that. And you might say, well, the lawn care company sprayed in this area. It is not the lawn care company that did the problem to the honey locust tree. It's the plant bug that did that. Also, if you have viburnums, almost all the species of viburnum have a significant number of holes. They actually look like a little lacework on the leaves, and there's an insect called the viburnum leaf beetle that has the larva form has been eating out there for the last 3 weeks, and then the adult will soon start eating again within the next 2 weeks. So beware.
Is it too late to prune trees or plant or, you know, any vegetables, anything?
Well, on pruning, we can still certainly do that on all shrubbery, trees and shrubs, as I mentioned. In fact, you want to get that done before the end of June, because if things are alive and they've sprouted out and flowered, say like the lilac plant, the flower buds are being set for next year already, for next May already. The flower buds are starting at the end of June, early July for next year. The other thing, vegetable gardening-wise, certainly go ahead and plant the warm season crops. In fact, they like more nights above 60 degrees. And this morning, what was it, 43 or something like that? They don't like that. They'll live, but they don't like it. So you can get your tomatoes, right. Pumpkins, squash, things like that.
Now, I showed you a picture of some boxwoods that I had that are yellow on top. That's another one of the winter dieback.
That is the winter dieback. Right. And again, many of the boxwoods took a really hard hit. Some of them are actually dead. If they're brown all the way, they are not going to come back to life. Simply get a new one, get it growing well. You might think of next fall to put up a windscreen around using burlap. But again, if we have a severe winter, some of the boxwoods can take it. There's a variety called Winter Gem that we might want to consider as being a little more winter hardy.
Okay. In the area. Hopefully we won't have a winter like we had last winter.
Hopefully
for a
not.
While, because otherwise not a whole lot of landscaping will survive another one of those big years.
We do find out which cultivars of plants are hardy in the area and when these hard winters hit.
Find out what kind of people are hardy, too. Those that just up and moved to Florida. That's it.
That's true. Well, let's talk about mowing. A lot of people do it more than once a week because the mowing.
Yes, I've been busy mowing, and I've also been observing some people that are mowing, especially with the riding lawnmowers. And I want to just point out that do think safety. Don't let children get on those mowers and hold them on the mower. You have a chance of child falling off and getting injured. Also, when you're out mowing, make sure you've picked up the sticks and stones out there and keep children away so that you don't have guided missiles that are coming out of that lawnmower. Remember, things are moving quite fast, and kids should not be out there when you are mowing.
I see a lot more people mowing safety consciously by using headphones of sorts. And I'm not just talking about listening to music. I'm talking about sort of protective head ear gear because right. of the noise of the mowers, too.
Yeah, some of these mowers are a little bit noisy, and it does help to have on some earmuffs or earplugs so that you can protect your hearing. Also, think when you are mowing at this time of the year, mow high so that we can recycle the clippings on the lawn, mow on a regular basis, again, to recycle the clippings on the lawn.
I thought you were going to sing that for me for a moment.
Oh, mow recycle, high. Recycle, recycle.
No, mow high.
Mow high.
Well, you always say mow high, right? I mean, yeah. Is there ever a time when you don't mow high?
Well, the only time I might mow low would be around Thanksgiving when I bring my mower down to about an inch and a half and then be ready for the winter, and then it's not going to grow anymore. Typically, once soil temperatures get down around 32 to 35 degrees, grass stops growing.
Father's Day is coming up. Dad likes tools.
Nice mower.
Mower. Things like
pruners,
that.
Clippers, load of cow manure,
mulch.
Flowers to plant. A lot of dads like to plant right. things.
You brought up the M word. Let's talk about mulch for a little bit here. How much mulch and where is a good place and where really don't you want to put mulch?
Okay, first of all is the quality of the mulch. It should have a pleasant smell when it is delivered to you. It shouldn't be acrid or bitter smelling. That means that it's been piled a little bit too high. Just simply rake it out and let the bacteria get going and rechange. Right. They'll get that out of there. But when you do mulch, no more than about an inch and a half to 2 inches, never against the trunk of trees or against the trunk of shrubs, about a hand or a fist distance away from the trunk of the plant, and put it on now.
Now, you've got mulch that is like shredded, twice shredded. You have stuff that's pine bark. You have the chunks. I guess is that just a preference of what you prefer?
It is a preference, but there are some different qualities. The best materials are composted hardwood barks, single shred, but that's very difficult to get, so I guess you're going to get double shred. I would avoid the triple shred material because that becomes too fine and packs down, and a lot of times we'll grow what's called that vomit fungus or dog vomit fungus on it. And the way to avoid that, when you do get a load of mulch, put down the mulch and water it down right away. Water it for a couple days.
Why are we watering it?
You're watering it to get bacteria to grow over the fungus that wants to grow there. And surprisingly, but just by keeping it moist, you will encourage the helpful bacteria that are there to overcome the fungi.
So it's a great weekend to put down your mulch because it looks like we might get a little bit of rain. And
yes, it is a nice, when is it supposed to rain? Sunday night or is Monday?
Yeah, I think maybe it's springtime.
What's the
it's
long
range
rain. Forecast?
Well,
Bruce?
Sunny for Saturday, 50% chance of showers on Sunday.
Right. So. Mulch this weekend, again, no more than about an inch and a half to 2 inches deep, and water it afterwards and keep it away from the trunk of the plant.
And I guess springtime is the best time to put the mulch down because you're, what, trying to prevent any of the weeds?
Yeah, you're trying to prevent weeds. Okay. Make sure if there are any weeds there, you pull them out ahead of time.
Okay. Does that pre-emergent stuff work at this time too? Or is
yes, it works very fine. The only product available for homeowners is the preen, or the active ingredient is called Treflan. And that needs to be watered in right after application.
What do you mean by only available for homeowners? Do you know some guy in some back alley?
There are other products that commercial people can apply. They have to have a license to buy the product.
And that's why you went to that thing you had the other day.
Right. We talk about those products
there.
Types of the secret products.
And that is why sometimes it is good to hire a professional. Because every once in a while, you need somebody who really knows their stuff. And you can do the small stuff. Like, Bruce, I don't think you should have pesticides anywhere around. I'm not saying that, you're not a good gardener.
I still have a bag of some illegally, more than recently banned substance. But I still had it, so I could still possess it, right?
You can still possess it.
So my diazinon is still something that I can still have.
It still be used up, yes, okay. But it might also oxidize into other things too. And it might be well to turn it in when they do have their collection day.
It sounds like you're creating an episode of Breaking Bad.
Is this like pesticide buyback or something? Or turning this in? What?
There are, I'm not sure when it is. I think it's in the fall that there is a pesticide collection day here in Lorain County.
Well, I believe also they have with the anytime at the recycling center,
right.
They do have offer, and they have a list on their website as well. That you can check out about what things you want to do. Because sometimes you have a problem and you buy what you think is enough and it's too much and now you're left with it and killed all the insects and the bugs and stuff are not coming back.
And maybe that brings up the thing, if you are going to buy pesticides for insect or fungicide use, buy the smaller container. You don't always need it. a large container because you've taken care of the problem. Then what do you do about storage? Okay. So you just get the smallest container. And also when you mix up the product, use it and get it all used up. If you can't use it, redistribute it over the lawn area.
Have you seen
properly.
What Roundup has come out with this 365 that supposedly you put down and it lasts for an entire year or something like that? Are you aware
they
of
may
that?
No, I'm not aware of that particular product. But they could add in other herbicides to extend the life of the product.
Okay.
Typically, Roundup has a half-life of 90 days, and it is active. It is not active. It is actually held onto the aluminum in the clay particle that makes it inactive. That's
the science of...
I thought we were done with school. Science.
School's not out.
Remember, the bell is wrong, Charles, and I think it's time for you to leave.
Ionization of things, well, it has a +3 charge, and aluminum has a -3 charge.
So, wait, I got to ask, because you are a friend of the bugs, do you recommend using pesticides?
In some cases, you don't have to use any, or... At least use, if you're going after the insect, use the kind of what they call the gentle ones, products such as the horticultural soaps and the horticultural oils that can be used for insect control, because it will control a lot of these soft-bodied insects.
And of course, you want to be careful with you use the pesticides because there are good bugs that help with the bad bugs, and you don't want to eliminate too many of them. Of course, if they come in your house...
Everything's a bad bug. Whack it.
Everything's off, right. It's the shoot patrol time at that.
Yeah.
Charles Behnke, our horticulturalist, joining us this morning. Appreciate you coming in. And, you know, next time you feel itch to come on in, just let me know and we'll set it up another time as well.
I will do that.